we've been talking about 2024 is the year of what? Profuse. What kind of favor? Profuse, a favor that abounds. Amen. And so favor has always been in the Word of God. And so we're really kind of done talking about that. But in this aspect, you can't walk in something, even the promises of God that are yes and amen, unless you learn to receive them. Right? Now listen, everybody listen to me. How many believe God is able? Woo, I even like that. Oh, ain't he able? Hallelujah. You know, pop the clutch. Ain't he able? I like that. But listen to me and listen and don't misunderstand me. You do not receive from God based on his ability alone. God is able to stick his head out of the clouds and scare 8.5 billion people on planet Earth. He's just chosen not to do that. God is able to save you. But why don't people get saved? Because they don't receive. How many know it's not the will of God that any should perish? But are people perishing? Why? Because they did not receive Jesus. So there's a God side. Everybody say, there's a God side. And then there's my side. Don't you all worry about God's side. He's got his side. That's why we don't spend a lot of time around here on God's side. Except for this. Faith begins where the will of God is known. If you don't know the will of God, then any lie will do. Religion will do. Religion, what people think will do. Remember, you know, and like this, how you know, in order for something to be scriptural, you need what? Scripture. And two or three of them together, and preferably from the epistles. I mean, you can get them from everywhere, but the epistles ought to agree with what you're believing. So if someone says to you, well, I just believe, you ought to be able, you ought to just kind of step back a minute and go, uh-oh, what's about to happen here? Because really, we don't get, well, I have a right to believe whatever I want to believe. Not if you're a Christian. Not if you're a Bible believer. You have a right to what the scriptures teach in context. Because see, if I believe something, I can go to the scripture and try to pull it out of its place to reinforce what I believe. But we don't do that. We go to the scripture to form our beliefs. Amen. Well, the Bible's not consistent. You be wrong. The Bible is very consistent. You just haven't read it right. Is that all right? Well, it's confusing. It's not confusing to those who are born again. King James may be confusing. Canst and thouest and whoest and whateverest. But God's not confusing. Amen? And he's not a man that he should lie. Has he not said it, will he not also do it? So God wants you to receive. How many know the promises of God are yes and amen? Amen. But you and I have to learn how to receive them, right? And so that's what we're doing. We're learning how to walk in the blessings. We're learning how to walk in the promises of God. Yes, God is able, and I believe that. And yes, God, his ability is limitless. Amen. And he is God Almighty, and he happens to be your father if you're born again. And he is good. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above, with whom there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. God is always good. And he wants you to receive his goodness. But make no mistake about it, whatever we're not walking in is because we don't know it's available, because faith begins where the will of God is known. So you and I have to know what Scripture says. That's really a lot of the beginning of it. In order for you to be born again, you had to know what the will of God was concerning you. It wasn't just left up to God. You had to understand that you had a part to play, and you believed that Jesus was the Son of God. You believed that he was raised from the dead. You accepted him as your Savior. You made him the Lord of your life, but you did that by faith. Right? You did that by faith. And so we've been talking about many different things, and I love talking about this, and teaching some of these things is what changed my life forever. And so I want you to get it. I want you to make sure you really get it. And part of that starts with having a relationship with God, and it starts also with the hearing. You all know what Romans 10:17, faith comes by now, come on, everybody at Cornerstone, and everybody who mentioned, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But that is the last part of that is it's a rhema Christos. The written word of God is logos. You cannot have a rhema without the logos. That's why the belt of truth, the logos, the written word of God is, I believe, the most important, because you can't have anything without it. We need a logos, but in order for it to be real faith, you're going to have a rhema. What is a rhema? It's a quickened word. Not just a spoken word. I like it better. It's a quickened word. It's a word that became alive, because this is what I'm watching with people. They hear the logos, and then they try to become polyparrots. They begin to parakeet, you know, those birds that talk, but they can only talk. They don't have it originally on their own, but they can mimic. There's a lot of echoes today in the body of Christ, very few voices. There's a lot of people trying to do what somebody's telling them to do, but you really won't be able to truly walk by faith until you have it for yourself. Now listen to me. I meditate on these kind of things. It kind of boggles me a little bit. Just how it all, I want to kind of know how it all works. But how many of you know faith has always been God's way of people receiving from him? It's always been his way. Hebrews 11 is not full of New Testament believers. It's full of Old Testament believers. Faith has always been the way to receive from God. Come on. How many of you know Moses walked by faith? Abraham and Sarah, they walked by faith. Joshua, he walked by faith. But listen to me. In the Old Covenant, were they born again? The woman with the issue of blood, which we use all the time, we're about to use her again. Was she born again? Was she? She's in the New Testament. Was she born again? No. She was actually part, you know, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are part of, they walked in the old covenant because Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead yet. It was the works of Jesus. What am I telling you? Come on, y'all. If they weren't even born again, and you and I are born again and filled with the Holy Ghost and can do psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and we can speak in tongues and rhyme, and we have the word of God all the time, don't you think we ought to be able to walk by faith? Come on, y'all. We have an advantage. We have something they've never had. The Spirit of God, the teacher, the teller of all truth, the one who wrote the word of God, lives on the inside of us. Don't you think we ought to have an advantage? Don't you think we ought to be doing this? Right. Come on, if they could do it in the old covenant and God didn't live in them and they were spiritually dead, so to speak, they weren't born again, they weren't made alive unto God, and yet God spoke something to them through a prophet. God talked to them and they believed God and they were able to walk in it and have what he said. And then we find out later God says they have great faith. Abraham and Sarah were not born again, and they were able to do it just based on hearing from God and making a decision to believe God. It was a decision. Amen. And so faith comes by hearing, a rhema Christos. And so what I'm telling you is they did it. This is a key, and I'm rehashing this, and I need to move on because I need you to get it, though. I'm watching people hearing things with these, where your earrings and your glasses hang over, instead of hearing and hear. Hearing and hearing. I almost believe that's two kinds of hearings. You got to hear it first, yes, here, but you got to hear it here. And until it's real to you here in your cardia, in the center of you, until it's like, and it's revelation to you, it's not just word to you, it's rhema, it's revelation to you, then you walk by faith. Then you've got it because you know it. Come on, remember me telling you this. When you get something from the word of God, a rhema, a revelation, and you're trying to explain it to someone else and they're going like this, you want to slap them, right? Because they don't get it. But you got it. That's called revelation. And they may have it, probably not. They may have had it later, but you got it. Amen. So where does faith happen at? It happens in your heart. How many know? Let me just throw this in. You got to renew your mind. If you weren't here on Wednesday nights, I've been talking about renewing your mind. You got to renew your mind. You got to get knowledge. But faith is of the heart, not even the renewed mind. So you believe from your heart. Remember the word of God says in Romans that he's given to every man the measure of faith. Everybody on planet Earth has the ability to believe in and believe God. Let me say it again. Every person on planet Earth has the measure of faith. They have the ability to believe God. So once they hear something, there's an ability within them. It's always been from Adam and Eve and all the way down. It'll always be with anybody born on planet Earth. They'll have the ability to believe God. It's not unfair. God is not unjust. Everybody's been given the ability to believe God. If they hear something, they can believe something and act on something. And everybody believes God, even Old Testament and New Testament. The ability is there. All I'm saying to you and me is we've got an advantage. How many of y'all born again? Come on, it's Sunday morning cornerstone. Y'all born again? How many of you wouldn't raise your hand no matter what I said? Anyway, are you born again? If you're not born again, you can leave born again. If you're away from God, you can leave everything okay with God. All right, I got to get going. So where does all this happen? You hear it from your heart, and that's in your cardia. Romans 10, 8 through 10. Let's look at there just because let's get going. I reviewed a lot longer than I thought I was going to. But what says the word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart, your cardia. That is the word of faith. What is cardia? It's the middle of you. The cardia is where your soul, your spirit are contained, intertwined. It says that is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9. That if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Verse 10. From with the heart. So when you heard about Jesus the first time, where did you have to get this? Not in your head. Not with just these, but something happened, and the ability is within every human being on the planet Earth to believe in their heart. For with the heart, man believes. Jesus said something, unto righteousness with the mouth confession made us out. For with the heart. Jesus said something in Mark 11, 23. You've all heard this one, but you know it, but let's look at it. Mark 11, 23. They don't have my scriptures today because they didn't know what I was doing. So Mark 11, 23. So glory to God. Verily I say to you that whosoever shall say in this mountain be removed and be cast in the sea and shall not doubt in his where? His cardia, the center of him. So the problem is, yes, you need to renew your mind. Yes, you need to say the right things, but it's your heart. Remember Jesus taught, he called it the parable of the sower. The four conditions of the heart. And there's only one condition that produces 30, 60, and 100 fold. But I just want you to concentrate on this today, that your faith comes from your heart, not your head. This is not mental assent that God is God. This is not mental assent that Jesus is Lord. There's a lot of people who give a mental assent that God is real. You can even give mental assent that Jesus is Lord and he was raised from the dead. But it's not until you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus that you're born again. So I just want to reemphasize to you that faith is of the heart, not even the renewed mind. Now, listen to me carefully. You must renew your mind, but that is not where your faith comes from. Your faith comes from the center of you, from your cardia, and you've all been given the measure of faith. And there's just different places. Remember in Ephesians 1:18, the Bible says that open the eyes of their understanding. That word understanding is cardia. That's the center of you. Your eyes, your spiritual, your heart needs to be enlightened, flooded with light. Your mind needs to be renewed, but you need the flooding of light in your cardia because that's where you believe. And then in Ephesians 4:18, it talks about the blindness of their cardia. So if you're blind in your heart, you can't see in your heart, then you're not going to be able to understand. Their understanding, that word understanding is cardia. So the devil's trying to blind your cardia. God is trying to flood it with light. And it's up to you which one you're participating in. But it's your cardia that causes you to believe. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, where it talks about, you know, no man is seen, no eye is here, you know, but God has what God has prepared for them. And verse 10, but God has revealed. Where is he revealing it? He reveals it to your cardia. Your heart, you need to renew your mind, but let's understand where the center of us is, and what God needs from you is belief from your cardia. He needs belief from you, not from your blood pumper, but from the center of you. Your heart. He's after your heart. He's after your heart. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, it talks about giving. It says to give from your heart. Give, and really what that is, again, it purposes in his heart. That's the center of you. Even giving should be done from the center of you, not from your mind. In order for it to work, it needs to come from the center of you. It needs to come from your heart. All cardia. Philippians 4:7, he says, he guards your heart and your mind. So the word of the peace of God will guard your heart. You need your heart guarded. Why? Proverbs 4:20-24. For out of it flow the issues of your life. Out of your heart flows the issues of your life. That's why we got to guard it. That's why we got to protect it. You've got three gates to it. You got an eye gate, you got an ear gate, you got a mouth gate. Be careful what you're letting go into your heart, because out of it flow the issues of your life. If you're, you put in seed of the word of God, but what kind of weeds are you putting in? What are you looking at? What are you hearing? What are you talking about? I understand we live in a world where things are a mess and there's politics and there's this and there's that. But in a lot of cases, that can be really a lot of weeds. And you don't have time for weeds. Every time you go to believe something, you got to pull something out because somebody ticked you off, because somebody made you mad, got you out of love. You hate half the country. That happens to be your harvest. That happens to be your harvest. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4:12. And we'll get started on what I want to talk about. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul, alma, and cardia. Well, the joints of marrow. No, that's not true. Alma, and the other word, joints of marrow, discern of the thoughts and intents of the cardia. So even only the word of God, my point in this is your spirit and your soul are so intertwined in your heart, in your cardia, that it takes the word of God to divide it. So that's where we believe from. So yes, your soul is involved in your believing. And yes, listen to me, if you really want to walk in faith, you're going to have to renew your mind. You're going to have to get your soul saved, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Because it can so mess with your cardia that it will pull you off of what you're believing. Do you understand what I'm saying? But make no mistake about it, you believe from your heart, not your mind. Okay? So, I want to talk about something the Lord has dealt with me about. I've been preaching along these lines now for almost 35 years. And as a pastor, I really want to help people. I like it when we get new people in the church who haven't heard these things, who maybe grew up like I did. And maybe God, I grew up believing God was always mad at me with a big old baseball bat ready to hit me. I was always afraid to take communion because I was sure as I swallowed it, I would die because, I wasn't living right all the time. And, I was just a teenager and I wasn't bad, but I had a real condemnation kind of thing. And I was afraid of God. I didn't reverence him. I was afraid of him. There's a difference. I was afraid of him. I thought him as a bully. I thought him mean. And that's why it didn't take much when I went to college to get me off. But then later when I came back to the Lord and got filled with the Holy Ghost, I found out that he is really good. And his promises are for everybody. And so I set about on a journey of learning how to walk in them. And then when I found out I was called, my journey sent me to somewhere where I could learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. And got a spirit of faith on my life, and I began to teach people that. And over the years, I've seen some results, but I want to see more results. I want to see a generation walking in the promises of God. I want to see them that know their God. I want them to be strong, and I want them to do exploits for God. And so a lot of it has to do with this. And then, I was ministering to the Lord. I was just waiting on him, and he said, it is a year, 2024 is a year of profuse favor, but many won't receive it because many don't know how to receive from me. Kind of like period, end of story. So they hear, how many of you know hope deferred makes the heart sick? So you hear something that's available for you, but you're never able to walk in it. All that does is just tick you off a little bit. So I don't want any frustrated believers in the room. So let's learn how to do this. And then we learn how to do it. You can help other people do it. And we can then receive all the promises of God that are yes and amen. Right? Everything that Jesus provided for us. And so let's pick up on this. if faith is of the heart, since faith is of the heart, since it is, what keeps people from not receiving? When you hear the word of God, Romans 10, 17, when you hear faith comes by, and so once you heard it, what happens? Faith came, right? How many know it's a living faith? It came. But that's just the beginning. It comes. But if you don't do it, you'll become a forgetful hearer, and you don't have corresponding actions, what kind of faith does it become? It's a dead faith. Or really, if you study the word, it's a demon faith. Oh, I just scared some of you. Even the demons believe. And they fear and they tremble. They believe that God's God. I think we can have a little more than demon faith, don't you? And I don't want dead faith. Right? So, and this is not supposed to be, how many of y'all are born again? You've proven you can do this because you're born again. How are you filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking other tongues? You've proven you can do this. You know how to believe. I said you know how to believe. Your faith works. So why in some situations don't we receive the promise? So let's look at it. So there's two words that I used to run together. Doubt and unbelief. Because I was taught to run them together. Doubt and unbelief. But these are two very distinct and different words. And really, I think we do people harm by mushing them together in a conjunction. Doubt and unbelief. Let's find out what they are. Unbelief is from the word, I wish Rick Renner was here to whisper in my ear how to pronounce this. Apostia, A-P-A-I-S-T-I-A. And it means faithlessness, disbelief, or unbelief. So when someone is in unbelief, they do not believe, they've heard something, and faith came, but they chose not to believe it. Unbelief is a choice. Mark 6 and 6. Jesus, how many of you, do y'all know who Jesus is? I mean, you know, he's the word, and he was preaching. And he was went to his own hometown, remember that? And how many know not much happened there? Why? Because they found him, the carpenter's son. I know your sister, I know your brother. I don't care what you got to say. Who you think you are? Yeah, still goes on with people who know you. A prophet is not without honor except among his own family, his own kin folks, his own best buddies. A lot of times they can't see anyway. And he marveled because of their what? That's not doubt. That's this word. They refused to believe him. Now listen, there is cures for both unbelief and doubt, but they're different cures. Unbelief is someone saying, you're the carpenter's son. I know your mama. I know your daddy. I don't believe it. I don't believe what you're saying. I don't trust you, because that's what faith is. I don't trust what you're saying. And Jesus was, come on, even he marveled. Oh my goodness, what's wrong with these people? I'm offering the same thing I've offered everywhere else. I see signs, wonders, and miracles, and here, nothing. And then what's the cure for unbelief? And he went round about the villages. So knowledge, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Unbelief is a problem in the body of Christ. It is saying what it is they don't have the knowledge. Let's just take this one. It's very easy. It is the will of God for everyone to be healed. Is that a settled deal with you or not? Well, because a lot of people, it's not settled still, even though I can prove to you with 7, 8, 10 scriptures that Jesus took your sickness, your infirmities, your diseases on the cross the same time he took your sin. He went about doing good and healing a few folks, depending on whether it was the will of God or not. The man came to him and said, if you will, you can heal me. And Jesus said, let me check in to see if it's the will. No, and he said, what? I will. The will of God is forever for salvation, and healing is part of it, is settled. It's settled. In other words, it's case law. It's in the Word of God. It's settled. It's settled. But it's not settled with most people because they base their faith on the results of other people. Because everybody doesn't get healed. I've ministered to a lot of people who didn't receive their healing. Had nothing to do with will of God. And you know what? If someone goes home to be heaven, goes home early to heaven, don't you be like, I wonder what happened. And maybe think they're about, you don't know anything about it. And if someone, you know, come on, a day is as 1,000 years a day. You're going to be there in a few minutes anyway. And nobody's going to want to discuss it. So we shouldn't be discussing it. You don't know. I've pastored a long time. Sometimes people get to the end and they just get tired of fighting. And then I always get really mad at the Lord when they kind of get a glimpse of glory. Once they get a glimpse, it's hard to get them back. I remember a friend of mine. Oh, my goodness. Lord, anyway, I had a friend. Her name was Christine. She was like a mama to me. We met at Rhema. And man, she was my agreeing partner. She's an honoree as the day is long, but I loved her. And she was the kind of woman. She helped in children's ministry, but she would pray that all the children would stay home so that she could come to church. Anyway, and sometimes she would have helpers. And you had to be careful when you're in the A-frame. You had to be careful when you hit the door because Christine had her ear up to the door and her helpers were watching the kids. Anyway, but I loved her so much. And she had some disease in her body. And we had agreed that she would live and not die and recover. And this is how powerful agreement is. And this is how powerful the will of God is. But something happened, and they called me, and she was at the hospital, and she died. And I was driving on 565, mostly the speed limit, and I was going. And on the way, though, I was saying, Lord, no. We have agreed. You said if two of us touch anything on earth, this shall be done. So no. Mm-mm. Sorry. Send her back. So by the time I got there, she's back. I couldn't do it with just anybody, but we've agreed together on lots of stuff. If you ever heard my story, we were at Rhema together, and someone stole her car. And I don't know why we agreed for this, but some teenagers took it for a joyride. The only thing she said is, let's agree that they'll bring it back with a full tank of gas. And you know what? It came back on full. I was like, why didn't we agree for a new car? If this were, but that's where our faith was. Full tank of gas, you know, about that, you know, 20, 30 bucks instead of, you know, 20,000 or whatever. But I got to the hospital, and I want you to see the will of God. So she's here, she's back, and I walk in, and her family's all coming because they heard she was dead, dying. And I walked in, and I said, Christine, you're going to be fine because you're going to live and not die. That's what we agreed on. And she looked at me, and she smiled, and she said, mm-mm. She unhooked. Why? Because she went to heaven. And when they go, they ain't coming back. Don't you be feeling sorry for people. But it does not negate the fact that it is the will of God to heal everybody. Does everybody receive their healing? They don't. But don't get caught up. Your faith is not based on what other people receive. Because if it is, the Holy Spirit's trying to lead you into truth, and the devil will say, and see, and you're one of those two that this doesn't work for all the time. You just got to be careful about what you base your faith on. Now listen, if someone is sick and they don't get a hold of it and they go to heaven, that is not a loss. We didn't lose them. They just moved. And it's victory. The Bible even says, death, where's your sting? It's swallowed up in victory. But y'all got way too much work to do, and I'm full up, and you need to stay on earth and get your work done. So get your healing. Walk in it. Healing school every Tuesday at 11 o'clock. Unbelief. Mark chapter 16. This is after Jesus' resurrection. Verse 11 through 14. And they which, I've got like four or five other pages that I thought I'd get to today. You're all so good. You're good hearers, and you're putting it into practice. Verse 11, and they, when they heard that he, Jesus was alive, had been seen of her, they believed not. They believed not. These are the dudes that the church is getting ready to be turned over to. So this even unbelief is not fatal if it's changed. It's not fatal as long as it's changed. Because this was the selected ones. Think about it. Come on, there's hope for you and me. These are people that walked physically with him. And Mary comes back and says, I've seen him and he's alive. We're like, nope. Nope. They believe not. They were in unbelief. Then what happened? And then, verse 12, after he appeared in another form to two of them, remember the road to Emmaus? Right? And they walked, they went to the country, and when they went and told it to the, so they heard it from Mary, they heard it from these two guys that walked with Jesus on the road. Remember, their eyes were open. What is that? Revelation. Because at first they didn't know who he was, then revelation came. You must have revelation. It must come from the Holy Ghost. The Word of God, who he was, he was raised alive, they were kind of blinded. And then suddenly revelation came. The word brought revelation, and they knew who he was because they were even talking about him. He's standing right there. They're talking, haven't you heard what happened today? Right? Verse 14. When they went and told it, verse 14, afterward, he appeared to the 11. They was eating catfish, and he upbraided them because of their unbelief. With unbelief, there's what? Hardness of heart. Because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So these 11, whom the church is going to be handed over to or has been handed over to, at first, they don't believe because they haven't seen. And Jesus said, that's not the way we're doing this. And he upbraided them. In other words, he wasn't nice to them. He really gave them a talking to. The first ever come to Jesus meeting. The real one. I know we use that as a thing, but this is really what this was. We're not having this. The hardness of their heart. So one of the keys is Jesus went about and taught to deal with unbelief, but really if someone has a hard heart, where the seed and the water can't go in, their hardness of heart has to be changed. But how do you do that? Command blinders to come off their eyes. Amen. That the light of the glorious gospel would be able to go into them. You can believe God and deal with them and talk to them to the softening of their heart. And then the same thing, John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We got John, what do we call Thomas? Anybody remember what we call Thomas? How many of you know he's been mislabeled? He's been mislabeled. He's been mislabeled. John 20, 24. Now don't go correcting anybody. My pastor says that's not his name. Well, his name is just plain old Thomas. Give the dude a break. Because what would have happened if you'd have been there? But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen, here now, listen to these guys. We have seen the Lord. Yeah, they forgot to tell him all the upbraiding and the rebuking they just got. We have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord. Aren't you glad he forgets your mistakes and your failures? And now with confidence they can say, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, except I see his hands and print of his nails, and put my fingers into the place of his nails, and thrust my hand in his sides, I will not believe. This is unbelief in the highest form of, I have to see something, I have to feel something. It's all sense faith. And sense faith has nothing to do with Bible faith. I have to see it. I have to feel it. You have to show it to me before I believe something. Now, aren't you grateful the Lord is kind, graceful, full of grace, lots of mercy? Has anybody ever needed grace and mercy and kindness and because you didn't get it all the first time? And aren't you glad that God's not mad at you? Because you don't know what you would have done if you was Thomas. Right? And so the Lord did what? The Lord did what? He's like, looky here. Verse 26, and after 8 days, again, the disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. So 8 days later, Jesus heard him. 8 days later, they're together, and he's there this time, and Jesus came. The door's being shut. He walked through the wall. He walked through the wall. Amen. Amen. He's like, all right, we'll show you all. And stood in the midst and said what? Peace be unto you. Then he said to Thomas, he went right over to Thomas. He's like, look here. Go ahead and reach. Put your hand and thrust it in my side. And be not faithless, but believing. In other words, he let him believe. Is the Lord good at sometimes he'll do that? Sure he is. But this is what he said. And he said to Thomas, because you've seen me, you believe. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. And that's you and me. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Couple more. Oh, goodness. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 1:13. I want you to see this. Paul talking about himself. 1 Timothy 1:13. Who was before a blasphemer? So this is when he was Saul. Well, I wanted to slow down, and I want to talk to you about the difference between unbelief and doubt. And I do want to mention doubt, so you guys are going to have to hold steady. Hallelujah. But I want you to get this, because I want you to start thinking about this. I want you to be receiving. Saul said this about himself before he became Paul. I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. Aren't you glad you've obtained mercy? Now watch, because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. So unbelief has a lot to do with ignorance of the scripture. So the major cure for unbelief is to be taught. You've got to have the word. And you got to have it in a way that's not filtered through religion. Let the word be the word. Let the word describe the word. Let the word interpret the word. But he said, I did it ignorant. How many of you know he was going about killing Christians? And remember, Jesus interrupted him, right? But he said, I did it in ignorance and unbelief. The first group of the children of Israel, Hebrews chapter 3, this is where God's talking about they shall never enter in my rest. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Wow, that's pretty strong. So God calls unbelief evil because it's rejecting the word. It's rejecting what you hear. It's you saying, I don't believe you, God. I don't believe Jesus is the only way. I don't believe that healing is for everybody. I don't believe I'm supposed to be blessed to be a blessing. I don't believe peace is available for everyone. I believe a little bit of condemnation really helps the soul. No, how do you know? No condemnation. In other words, I don't believe that. Based on my experience, based on other people's experience, I don't believe that. But he said, take heed, brethren, lest there be an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And then I want to back up, and I want to look at verse 10 out of the New Living Translation. Can y'all do that for me? Hebrews 3:10. So, you know, they're going in, and they're supposed to take the promised land. How many of the first group was supposed to take it? But because they saw the giants and the walled cities, and they even believed that the land would eat you, that they decided not to go in. And the Lord called that evil unbelief. These are the people that came out of Egypt with signs, wonders, and miracles, walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. They even made t-shirts and sang "The Horse and the Rider Thrown into the Sea." They were having a great celebration. They brought back the grapes. The 10 spies said, though, there's giants in the land. There's walled cities. We can't go in. God's a liar. You say, no, he didn't say that. That's what they were saying. No, we can't do this. And the other two said, Joshua and Caleb said what? Y'all shut up, because we're well able. And the Lord called that a spirit of faith. Amen. So it says, so I was angry with them, and I said, their hearts always turn away from me. Watch this. This is unbelief. They always refuse to do what I tell them. Unbelief is refusal to do the word of God. You hear it, but you refuse it. Praise the Lord. This is, if you're new to the church, I'm always not this blunt, this direct, but I'm about to be. So it can help you with some understanding of some stuff. Like tithes. You cannot be a true person of the word and not understand that tithing is for today. Jesus, Hebrews is in the New Testament, isn't it? And Jesus is the high priest in the order of Melchizedek, isn't he? He's also the intercessor. That's some of his high priestly duties. You cannot be a person of the word and say that tithing has been done away with. So in order to do that, you have to refuse to do what God told you. And that's fine if just in your finances. But listen, in life, with the things of God, it bleeds over into other things. You can't put everything in a little nice little box and say, I refuse to believe God concerning this, but I want to believe him for my healing. You start doing that, you're going to get messed up. They refuse to do what I tell them. Now, that's just not with the written word, praise the Lord. That's also when you have something in your heart to do. You have to be careful of this. How many know unbelief is evil? And we just got to be doers of the word. We got to be doers of what he told us to do. All right, we'll move on. I hear you. Verse 19, King James. Back to King James. Takes them a minute. That's all right. So we see that they could not enter in because of their unbelief. So the promises of God are what? Are all of them yes and amen? Are the promises of God really yes and amen? Yeah, that's what they are, right? But does everybody walk in them? Does everybody walk in salvation? No. In other words, then did the first group, or the children of Israel, were the first group supposed to go in? Did they go in? Why didn't they go in? Well, because it wasn't the will of God. It was really just a big old trick. He really just got them out there to really perish there, and he was going to kill all their kids, but he decided last minute not to. Now, is that how it happened? Is there any truth to that at all? It was the will of God for them to go in the first time. Right? Why didn't they? Because of unbelief. Right? All right? Oh, my goodness. And he said to us, see that that doesn't happen to any of you. Could it happen to some of us? So if it starts to happen, what's the cure? Jesus went about teaching, so you need more word. And when you get more word, then what do you got to do? You got to do it. Are you with me? Because I don't want to have, and you don't want to have, an evil heart of unbelief. Praise the Lord. The music is playing. The time is winding down. But I got to get you something else. The other one is called doubt. And this is diakrino. Diakrino. D-I-A-K-R-I-N-O. And it means to doubt, stagger, waver. Remember, Jesus said in Mark 11:23, he said, whatever you say into the mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and shall not doubt, stagger, waver, hesitate, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Now, I would tell you, those of you Cornerstonians, those who have been around the word, that your problem is probably not unbelief, when you're not receiving the promises of God, it's probably doubt. Let me say this, and then we'll work on it some next time I preach, because Easter's coming up and stuff's coming up. And so we're just taking our time and getting all this, because we're going to have a bunch of people in here receiving this profuse favor the Lord has promised and all the promises of God. So when doubt comes, it doesn't mean that faith is absent. When doubt comes, it doesn't mean faith was absent. You know how I know that? Well, I know that because of Mark chapter 14. How do you know this man named Peter, who always spoke up, but always got to do cool things that other people didn't get to do? I think Jesus likes the speaking up bunch. Hallelujah. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. But he likes this speaking up bunch. And remember, what did Peter say? Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. And what did Jesus say? Come on, big boy. He said, come. I added the big boy. Come. Right? And what did Peter do? He was in a ship. He wasn't in a bass boat. And there was a storm going on. So he swung his legs over. And this fisherman, who knows you can't walk on water even when it's flat, began to walk. How many know that's pretty cool? How many believe it happened? Jesus walked on the water, but so did Peter. And usually my wife is here and I say, she thinks I walk on water, but I don't. Okay, didn't go over well. All right. Now verse 30, and this is where I'm going to leave you and we'll pick up. Because we talked about unbelief pretty thoroughly. And now doubt is different than unbelief. It's not the same. It has different cures. Unbelief, to cure it, you need more word. You need more knowledge. You need understanding. You need to know. And then when you get that, you have to believe it and you have to walk in it. You have to do what he says. Right? It's the same as being a forgetful hearer. And you're self-deceived, remember James says. But here, doubt is something different. Doubt does not mean the absence of faith. Because this is what's happened. He said, no, that's not what I want. I told you that. Oh, it's Matthew. It's not Mark. That's a bad, that's the rooster crowing and all that. That's a bad one. All right, for Peter. But let's look at this one. But he saw the wind. He did what? Saw. And then what happened? But he's walking on the water. So his faith is working. Can your faith be working and then suddenly something happened? Right? Peter's walking on water. Right? The fisherman is walking in the storm on water that can't not be walked on. He's literally doing it. But then what happens is, when the circumstances of life come and the devil helps elevate the circumstances, he's walking on water and then suddenly the wind, and when there's wind on water, you know there's waves. And the waves begin to do what? Probably hit him in the face. And when he began to do that, the Bible said he got afraid. When you can be walking in faith and the devil will stir up circumstances around you. And just living on the earth, circumstances come to hit you in the faith, in the face, and to get you out of faith. But you're believing. You're believing. Your faith works. Y'all, your faith works. Quit saying it doesn't. Your faith works. You've got the measure of faith. If they could do it in the old covenant, you and I have an advantage. Your faith works. You got born again. You speak in other tongues. God, your faith works. And then sometimes we're believing for something, we're actually doing it, and the circumstances arise and they hit you in the face. You spoke to a mountain and suddenly five more appear. You get afraid. And he began to sink. Then he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Everybody say, help me, Jesus. I mean, that's a good one if it's done in faith. Verse 31. And immediately, come on, Lord, help me. The Lord's not hard. He's not a taskmaster. He's not mean. Even when you make a mistake and you're trying to do something, he doesn't just say, you shouldn't have tried that, you stupid human. Come on, we're the sons and daughters of the Most High. He wanted a family. He wants to help you. He's not against you. He's not a taskmaster. Immediately, everybody say immediately. Jesus stretched forth his hand and he caught him. And he said, oh, thou of little faith. Now listen, if you study this out, and other people preach this a different way, but I believe this. How many of you walked on water? How many of that's faith? Little faith. Well, if it takes little faith to walk on water, I mean, that's pretty cool. But I think this word little is amount of time. Why did your faith last for such a little time? It's not little faith, because faith is faith. Yes, your faith can grow, but you have faith in something. You have faith for salvation, faith in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, faith in healing, faith for finances, faith for peace, faith for God to do something. Faith is faith there. Yes, I do believe there's amounts. But here, I think this is talking about why did it only last for a small amount of time? Then he said this. He didn't say, why didn't you believe? He said, why did you doubt? Why did you waver? Come on, man, you were doing it. Why'd you hesitate? And the same thing happens to you and me. I mean, how many metaphorically have ever been hit when you're doing something really good and then you get hit with a big old wave? The devil will send some people around you to tell you why this doesn't work. I mean, you're walking in health and healing and you're really getting it. And then 10 relatives will show up and say, well, you remember Aunt Sally? She died of that. You don't know this, but we also had a great aunt that died of the very same thing. You know, I'm sorry. That's just in our family. I mean, when you're doing it, you get hit in the face. Now you have a choice. Now you have a choice. Now you have a choice. Come on. Oh. We're going to talk about it. But not anymore today. Hallelujah.